Amen and amen. Thank you so much for singing. I was watching a church service recently, and as far as I know, it was a good one, but there was very little congregational singing going on. It was all what was up in the front and more like a performance than it was being taken part of by everybody. And I'm a big believer. I think it's right that we all lift up our voices and sing. A lot of times, again, maybe they're wonderful folks and maybe just difference of opinions and all that, but a lot of times there are churches that it's all a performance, unless Brother Dan's our star of the show, the performer up here. But I'm not criticizing of the way other people do it. I'm just saying the benefit of us all lifting up our voices in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And I thank God for you singing. Thank you so much for that. Thank you for being along with it, not just letting it go on, but you getting involved in it. And I know that some are gifted more than others, and some of you, maybe we thank you that you don't sing out loud. I don't know, but by and large, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, and if He's the only one that appreciates it, just pick a spot in the auditorium where there's not people crowded right around you, I guess, and the front rows are always open. So, well, I hate to teach on what I'm going to teach on tonight, but it is the part of the Christian life, just like it's in the Scriptures. And so we were looking at trials last week in the first part of James, and I want to continue on in James. I want to be done here in about 20 minutes, and we're going to have an invitation. Then we'll see a video from that missionary that's in a restricted area they call Creative Access. And so I want you to get part of all of that. So we'll be done in a timely manner. But we talked about trials and the certainty. I won't teach again what we had last week, but you remember, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. Don't think, man, I may get out of here without any problems. Not so. It will happen. And you might as well count on it. But I want to look tonight, because the Bible continues on down in that passage, what those trials do. And we know we can be assured of them coming, but if God's the one that allows things to happen and makes things happen, then He doesn't do things haphazardly. He's got benefit in those trials after He allows them to come to our life. Can I just tell us a mistake that sometimes we make? Sometimes when we get into sin or we'll do something wrong, we'll say, well, God had a purpose for it. Now, God makes blessings out of a lot of messes we make, but God never had a purpose in us sinning. Now, He'll take after we mess it up, and He'll refix it, and thank God He recycles a lot of stuff, because we all are wonderfully blessed by that. But don't ever buy into it. Well, God just had a reason for me to go down and get into the depths of sin and then to do this and then to do this. And so then I could do something. No, you could have always done more for the Lord without reaching down those depths of sin. But thank the Lord that after we do get down some of the depths of sin, He still has gracious mercy on us and cleans us up and gets us back. I'm talking specifically about Christian people right now, gets us back in the fight for His name's sake. So, just a little clarification there. But now, trials are something different. Trials are often through no fault of your own. Through nothing that you did do things come into your life. Daniel, what he did to get thrown in the lion's den was stand up for the Lord. And so we say, well, prize to him for standing up. He gets cast into the lion's den. The three Hebrew children, same thing. We know that many times trials are come to us. And I want to look at tonight what they do. And would you look at verse number 3? We looked at verse 1 and 2 last week. We would see verse number 3. Knowing this, we're at James 1. Sorry if I didn't say that. Knowing this. I love the way the Scriptures are emphatic. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Worketh. It just means it develops. It gets it worked in there. Gets it worked out. Gets it worked under. Gets it worked through. It worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect. We've been in the book long enough. That doesn't mean perfect without sin. That word perfect just means complete. When you look at a little baby and it's born, you say, she is perfect. We know she's not. She's going to cry when there's nothing wrong just in a little bit. But when we're looking at her, she looks perfect. She's complete. She's here. So Let her perfect work. Let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect, again, complete and entire, and entire, wanting nothing. We may look at next week, if verse number 5, any man lack wisdom. We mentioned that verse several times on our Vision Sunday. Let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. But tonight we want to look at these. What do the trials do? Father, bless us now is our prayer. May you minister to your saints tonight. I pray if there's somebody unsaved, dear Lord, in this room or watching online, that they would understand that many of the difficulties that they may be going through in their life really are just like a neon arrow pointing them up to heaven, showing them they need to look to you. And I pray they'd be saved. And then, Lord, your saints, I pray that tonight they would be encouraged and understand what these trials do in our lives. And bless us in your name, we pray. Amen. So there's a definite progression with these trials. In verse number 3, we see that knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. That's why people say, I don't want to pray for patience, because we know what brings those patience. Well, I want you to look back, if you will, at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 is such a good sister passage to this. It just expounds upon it. The best commentary for the Bible is the Bible. And so we see in Romans chapter 5, we're going to see this progression of how it follows through with our trials. Verse number 3, Romans 5, and not so only, but we glory in tribulations also. Wow, would we? Should we? Could we? Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience. You know, there's a great way to get how to know what not to do. You all know what it is. How to do the wrong thing. There's a sure way to know what not to put in your house if you're building a house, and that is to put it in there. And then you say, why'd we ever do that? There's a sure way to know what car not to buy. That's to buy the wrong one. Well, we shouldn't have bought that one. And so we understand that experience, boy, oh boy, oh boy, experience is a wonderful teacher. It's just not always kind. And patience, experience, and experience, hope. So tribulations bring a patience, patience brings experience, and experience brings hope. It's just the progression that goes through there. I want to look at letter C underneath there, that experience brings hope. How would that experience bring hope? I was trying to think of how we could best illustrate this. I don't know if it's the best, but it's A1. How does a child know that his mom loves him? Well, you say she says it all the time, and I know she does, but a lot of times we say things that we don't really follow up on. I believe the way that a child knows that their mom loves them is that the tribulations and the experiences that that child has to their little life, you know, when a little one's got a fever, that's a big deal to them. Maybe to you that have had hundreds of fevers over your life, so, well, it'll pass. I'll get a little bit of medicine in me and it'll take pass. But maybe a little one, that's all they know right then, and they're just beside themselves. That tribulation or that experience, I believe it also brings hope, because you know who's right there through that with those child most of the time? Mama. And so that child knows mom loves them, not because mom said it, but because mom was with him through every bit of that trial. And when we see what the scripture says, that the trying of our faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work in thee, I believe what you're going to find through every trial is that your God is faithful no matter what comes. And I believe that's where the scripture gets back in chapter in Romans, where it talks about that hope that comes. Because my tribulations brought patience, and my patience, boy, that's quite an experience. But that experience, when I came through it and God was with me all the way, yea, though I walked through the valley of the shadow of death, when he was with me through the deep valley, that brings me hope. We like concrete. I told somebody just a little bit ago, we were talking about it's nice to be out. And I said, yeah, but you don't want to get off the pavement or off the concrete because it's sopping wet everywhere. Over here on the other side of the Family Life Center, it's wet. And everywhere you get off in our front yard, people pass on our little street. And so they've come over in the yard and made ruts where their tires was. Why? Because it's all sopping wet. Well, we like concrete to stay out of that mud. But concrete takes a process. There are certain things that have to be added together. And then it has to be worked just right. And then it has to be formed so that it's any good at all. Because without that process, without that form, and without those articles being joined together, you don't have concrete. Well, we like faith. We like hope. We like the stories that are told after tribulation comes, but the only way to tell a war story that you've made it through is to go through the situation. So the definite progression of trials here is that what the Bible is giving out. But I want you to see in verse number 3 that our faith is tested. Knowing this, that the trying equals testing. It's just one other way of saying it, the testing, trying of your faith. My brother had some surgery here a couple weeks ago, and he told me, I talked to him on the phone a little bit, he called me on his way home, and he said that his wife had been taking good care of him. He said, I guess this is more of the for better, for worse, this is more of the for worse side of it lately, because she's been the main caregiver for him as he's going through that, and some of you all know what that is, what that's like, rather, because of some of your family. But vows are a bold statement that our love can stand some testing. Basically, when somebody stands up in front of an audience, whether it's in a church or in a park or a venue somewhere, and they say that for better, for worse, richer, for poorer, sickness, health, ugly, beautiful, fat, skinny, whatever they put in there, what they're doing is they're making that statement that no matter what trials come, you and me, we're in this together. That testing that's going to come. Every marriage has it. Now, we don't all have the exact same testing, but we all are like in that we have testing. And so what you're doing when you make those vows is you say, regardless of the trying that comes, the trying times, regardless of the testing that comes, we're together. Our tribulation will show a little bit of patience, and that patience will bring experience, and then we'll have that hope. So our trying equals that patience. I want you to think about this. The next one is not a Bible statement, but just one if you'd bear with me. Consumers, we don't buy anything without testing. That doesn't mean that you do the testing, but somebody does the testing. When we remodeled this auditorium, these pews were tested, not by us. When we got them, they were put in here. But engineers and different product safety personnel, they tried the cushions and they tried them against fire retardation. They tried them against wearing and breaking down and the fabric, and all of these products got tested. The same thing with your cars. They put some of them out before they ever get to production. They put them out for those crash tests. Those crash tests that are used to see how safe this car is going to be. The USDA, the FDA, all of these things that have letters out there of all kinds of agencies are trying to test to keep you safe. Sometimes they make it and sometimes they don't. I understand all that. But I'm saying the premise is that we test things before you buy them. And consumers buy nothing without testing. So we like trials, we like testing, we just don't like to be the ones in them. But it's unrealistic for us as Christians to think we can get by without it. So our faith is tested, it is trying to us, it's testing us. But I want to get down to the last one and see what it develops in us. Because we see in verse number 4, but let patience have her perfect work, that complete work. Let it have her. The apostle James, rather, is writing to these folks. He said, listen, let that patience, which we know how patience comes. Patience only comes through tribulation. So when James says, listen, let patience have her perfect work in you, he's really saying, tee up for some tribulation. I mean, one results in the other, but he's just skipping the first one. He says, let patience have her perfect work in you. So what he's saying is, get ready for some trials. Get ready for some testing. So this worketh in us, as the Bible says in verse number 4, it really means to develop or to finish. We can figure that out, of course. But let patience have her perfect work in you, that you may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. In verse number 3, that faith worketh patience. That means it develops it. Now, we don't do this much anymore because everybody's got pictures on their phones, and so you just show. Now, it used to be that grandparents annoyed us with long fold-out photos of their grandchildren. One fellow said, hey, did I show you that picture of my grandchild? And the other guy said, no, and I want to thank you for that. We used to have to unfold all these pictures. Now we don't. Now we just swipe on our smartphone. Looky here, looky here, looky there. I said, isn't that the same as those last 14 you showed me? Oh, no, 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 uh-uh. Maybe to the naked eye, yes, but to a trained grandpa, it's not. So, but before all that happened, we used to have to take this little canister of film from a 35 millimeter camera, or if you go back even further, when I used to be, had those 110, those little skinny ones that you dropped in that little camera and you advanced the film. Well, when you got to the end of it, you took the last one, then you took it to Walgreens, or you took it to somewhere, or you sent it in to Fujifilm or somebody, and you had it developed. You had the goods. Well, you hope you did. Back then, we didn't know whether you had a good picture or not. Remember that? I used to think when we was a kid, I went to Washington, D.C. when I was in eighth grade with my school. And, you know, you're taking all these pictures, and then you get back, and like out of 50 of them, one's halfway decent, you know. And now, adults are too, whenever you take a picture on your cell phone, you snap, oh, let me look at it, let me look at it. And so they're blowing it up to see if their eyes are the right way and all that. Oh, I don't like that picture. You know what that means? I don't look good. I mean, everybody else could look star quality, but they weren't looking the right way, or they weren't standing the right way or something. Well, we used to have to get our film developed. You had the goods. You had already taken the picture, but it was nothing without the developing. And so when God says here, that trying of your faith. God already knows whether you're saved or not. He knows you've called on Him back when you were however old. He knows that. But the world does not. And one of the endeavors that we are on is to show Christ to a lost and dying world. And so our faith gets developed. Not like it wasn't there and I'm developing faith. One of these days I'm really going to have faith and God's going to let me go to heaven. I don't mean that. It was already there. What's it say in verse number 3? Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. He's already got faith. Okay, so we've already got that. But we are now developing it. Not developing it to attain it, developing it to grow it. And so we know that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But one of the things that increases that faith or develops it are these trials. So all of us would raise our hand that we want more faith. But what we're actually raising our hand for is, God, we're actually asking you to give us some trials and let us trust you through those trials so that when I come out on yon side of it, I'll be a more faithful Christian. So we see that this worketh in us means to develop or to finish. And that tested faith, I want you to look back, if you will, at Romans chapter 5 and see if you can gather here where I'm going. It increases our testimonies. Romans 5, verse, we looked at 3 and 4. Tribulation, patience, experience, hope. That's what finishes up verse 4. But then look at verse number 5. And hope, that hope that got built through all of this tribulation and patience and experience. And hope maketh not ashamed, because of the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So the Holy Ghost is given unto us the time of salvation. That's when faith is applied. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. For by grace you save through faith, that not of yourselves. So we understand that faith is given to us. It's a work of God in our hearts. And that's the same time that the Holy Spirit comes and takes up residence in us. And so verse number 5 says that hope maketh us not ashamed. If I'm not ashamed, I'm proud, not proud, sinful, just I'm overflowing. So I'm not ashamed, I'm glad to tell. I've got a testimony. And so I was thinking as I was trying to study through this, and I believe I've come up with right that this tested faith increases our testimony, or corporately our testimonies. But this tested faith, it increases the value of our testimony for the Lord. Let me explain what I mean by this. A good friend of ours, John Bishop, who started a camp down in Arkansas. He was from Bristol up the road. But years ago, went to Arkansas and started a camp. That's where Jared worked, Mads worked, and Allie's worked, all of them. But he had great trials come in his life. Meningitis settled in his body, and he lost memory of everything, and he was trained by his wife to know how to do, well, everything. And he's having some health issues again now, and so he's not able to be as much of a blessing to people as far as speaking. But you talk about somebody who was not ashamed of Christ and then was asked by hundreds, literally hundreds of people, how can I get through a problem? And the reason he was asked by all of those people, how do I get through a problem, was because tribulation worked patience in his life, patience worked experience in his life, and experience worked hope in his life. And because of that hope, through a trial that he went through, then his testimony expanded, and he was able to tell so many more people about the Lord Jesus Christ. So our tested faith increases our testimony. There's people right here in this room that you've lost the dearest thing on this earth to you, short of Jesus. I mean, the dearest person on this earth. And folks, they may not always say it, but they are watching you to see the way that God is working in you, and you're an encouragement to them. But what's happening is exactly what the scripture says in Romans. Your tribulation is working patience, and your patience is working experience, and your experience is working hope. And now this hope is making you not ashamed of how God walked with you all the way through. Back in James, we'll see that without our testing, that actually, not only is it better if it's tested, but without testing, we're not really finished. Let me find my place here, because in verse number 4, it says, let patience have her perfect work in you. Why? That you might be perfect, entire, complete, wanting nothing, lacking nothing. So everybody, all of us, we want it easy. But the Lord says, without some testing coming to strengthen that faith, we're not going to complete ourselves. So a faith that can be trusted, as one person said, is a faith that is going to be tested. Had a silver piece one time, and I was going to get it just to check, see if it was real. So somebody took it. It wasn't some prestigious piece, so they just took it back and scratched it. And when they took a little pointer or screwdriver or something, I don't remember, and they scratched it, then they put some kind of chemical on it. And what they were doing was making sure that it wasn't a thin coating of something, and they were getting down to the metal, and then they were putting that chemical on there to make sure that it reacted in the right way, because silver was supposed to react in one specific way. So if it did anything other than the prescribed action for that chemical to cause, then they knew it was a fake. But it wasn't. It produced what it was supposed to produce. But the only way that I didn't even know what that was, but the only way that assayer could do it, the only way they could tell was by that testing. Now, whether anybody in the whole world knows you're a Christian or not, your faith is not dependent upon what people think of you. I know that. But we are responsible to be a light to this lost and dying world and be an encouragement to our brothers and sisters in Christ. So you can see why our faith, God's going to allow it to be tested so that we can prove the validity of it. A whole lot different than saying, you've got to make sure that faith is tested and you come out right, or else you're not going to make it to heaven. You'll never hear this preacher say that. If I do, then please set me down. But you will, that faith that is already there, we better believe from the scriptures that it's going to be tested. We might as well be ready for it and know that God has a plan in allowing it to happen. Father, bless us now is our prayer. I pray that we would be standing strong in faith for you while our faith is tested. Lord, I pray for my friends that are going through some great, great difficulties right now. Their faith is being tested. Lord, some people are having issues with their children, and it's really stretching them and testing them. Lord, I'm praying that you would keep them strong through this difficult season. Lord, others have lost the dearest friend in their life. And Lord, I'm praying for them right now that you would keep them strong through this trial, through this test. Lord, others are going through undesired issues. People are attacking for one reason or another, tribulation. And Lord, you're working patience into their life, giving them experience so they can come out on the other side and proclaim hope. Lord, I pray that you'd strengthen them and let them know you're with them through every inch of the journey. Bless us, please, I pray in Jesus' name. Well, thank you for it. Would you stand together as the instruments play something through? And if God's spoken to your heart, I invite you to come. Maybe you're going through it right now, my friend. And you'd just like to come and pray, Brother Dan, myself, or somebody. We'd like to bear that burden with you if you want us to. Maybe you need to drop down the image a little bit and confide in somebody to say, listen, I need your prayers. Here, you're not sure that you're saved as they continue to play. You're not sure that you're saved, or maybe you're watching, you're not sure that Jesus is your personal Savior. Can I proclaim to you that He wants to be? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. If you're here and you're not sure you're saved, would you just step out and come? Take Jesus as your Savior by faith. This way. And if you need to leave, we're just 3 minutes till. If you need to leave, you're welcome to, but I'm going to ask the rest of you be seated, and as soon as we get the word from Brother Jack Young up there, we'll let our missionary video begin, and when they get the live stream cut off. And those missionaries who are working in areas that it's not